VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the Internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we do thank you for joining us today here on Crosstalk. Ladies and gentlemen, it was right here on Crosstalk, August 6, 2020. The guest we featured came on with a warning regarding a key modus operandi of socialism, and it's that of voter fraud, or shall I say election fraud. We warned about the processes such as mail-in ballots being lost, altered, or added to, orchestrated computer glitches, and more beyond that. And our guest shared a key quote from Joseph Stalin from 1923 that becomes ever so important for us today. Here's what he said. He said, "I consider it completely unimportant who in the party will vote or how, but what is extraordinarily important is this. Who will count the votes and how?" That warning came on this program 3 months before the election. And now, in just a short time following Election Day 2020, we are seeing these very matters playing out. Joining us today, we do welcome back William J. Federer. He's a nationally known speaker, historian, author, president of Amerisearch, and speaker on the American Minute. Authored many, many books, America's Got in Country, Encyclopedia of Quotations, Who is King in America, and his 2020 release book. Yes, we brought him back often because it is so relevant to where we are today, Socialism, the Real History from Plato to the Present, in which he analyzes how the deep state capitalizes on crises to consolidate control. Bill, thank you. You've interrupted your schedule often to join us, and we thank you for doing so.
Well, Jim, thanks for having me on again.
Bill, before we get into some of the details, what we have really seen played out in the aftermath of this November 3rd election really is it's really according to the socialist playbook, isn't it?
Well, it really is. And I do want to throw out, it was President-elect Gore for 6 weeks until the Supreme Court threw it out. So we're just a week into this, and
yes,
people are saying, well, just lay down and... Well, President Bush didn't lay down. He fought it to the Supreme Court for over a month.
Mm-hmm.
And
keep in mind, Bill, let me also state with that, Hillary Clinton, and her party for 4 years now have disputed the last election. And I think, isn't there somebody by the name of Stacey Abrams out of Georgia that still has not conceded the election yet?
Right. So she thinks she's still the governor. So World War II ends, and Germany, France, England give their former colonies independence, and they form brand new countries. Romania, Czechoslovakia, Hungary, Poland, Lithuania, these brand new countries elect brand new leaders. And they're digging out of the post-war crises, and it's looking hopeful, except the Soviet Union has a debate. Should communism just run the Soviet Union, or should it run the world? And the second attitude won out, and so they began to send KGB agents into these brand new countries. And they would identify groups with grievances, ethnic grievances, maybe Croats and Serbs and Bosnians, or religious grievances, Orthodox, Sunni, Shia, or ethnic racial grievances or economic grievances. It didn't matter. They would break them into groups of victims and oppressors, haves and have-nots. And then they would orchestrate protests and then riots and then violence.
Mm.
And then they would co-opt the media with bribes and threats to blame the brand new leader of this brand new country for all the problems. And they would even have the media release false polling data showing that the leader was unpopular when he really wasn't. And then when the country got panicky enough, they would do a coup or a rigged election. And because of these polls showing the popular leaders being unpopular, nobody challenged the coup. And they would take over. 45 countries fell to communism this way. And I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, what we're seeing, and like I say, this is a modus operandi. We have seen this from history past, and here they are trying to recreate it here to our present.
Right. And so Truman does nothing. He thinks the United Nations that he helped form would bring world peace. But the next president is Eisenhower, and he is faced with a choice: sit back and let the communists take over more and more countries, or do something about it and fight fire with fire. So Iran sides with the Soviet Union. Its leader, Mossadegh, nationalizes the Iranian oil industry. And you say, big deal. Well, wait a second. Britain had no oil. And Winston Churchill changed the British Navy from coal to oil. And so in 1908, Britain formed the Anglo-Iranian Oil Company. You know it better as BP. British Petroleum is the Anglo-Iranian Oil Company. And when Mossadegh nationalized it, Britain didn't have any oil. Here they have a worldwide navy, and they're having an oil shortage. So Britain appeals to Eisenhower. Eisenhower approves the first CIA operation to overthrow a country's leader called Operation Ajax. And the CIA operative on the ground is Kermit Roosevelt Jr., the grandson of Teddy Roosevelt. He's an expert at Eastern languages like Farsi, and he goes over to Tehran, and he does the KGB thing in reverse. He recruits mobsters and gangsters and radical imams. He stages protests and riots, and they attack mosques, and they co-opt the media with bribes and threats to blame Mossadegh for all of the problems. And then they find weak links in the military. And when the country gets panicky and confused enough, they have some of the military people walk into their version of the White House and put Mossadegh under house arrest, lock him away for the rest of his life where he dies, and they install the Shah. And the Shah of Iran loved America because we helped put him in. And the CIA did the same thing in Guatemala in 1954, the Congo in 1960, the Dominican Republic, Chile in 1973. And the KGB did the same thing with Brezhnev helping Yasser Arafat start the PLO and Brezhnev hugging Castro and the Soviets taking over countries in Latin, South America and in Africa where they had hundreds of these coups that took place. And then the Chinese doing the same thing in the countries in the Far East. This is called the Cold War. And it is where the Soviets and the Americans do this sort of fighting each other, but they're fighting each other through all these other countries. And one of the interesting quotes that Chris Matthews gave, and he was an MSNBC host, and in the very last broadcast Chris Matthews did that got him fired was there was a Democrat debate, and some of those candidates were open about their socialism. And Chris Matthews said, I remember the Cold War. I've seen what socialism is like, and I don't like it, okay? It not only does not work, he said, it's not free. He said, it's not only not free, it doesn't work. I believe that if Castro had the Reds won, there would have been executions in Central Park. Now, Chris Matthews was fired right after he said that. Now, we're talking about Castro and executions. Here's a quote from Che Guevara. He was Castro's killer. And Che Guevara said, we executed many people by firing squad without knowing if they were fully guilty. I like to confess, I discovered that I really like killing. Che Guevara goes on and says, blind hate against the enemy creates a forceful impulse that cracks the boundaries of natural human limitation, transforming the soldier into an effective, selective, cold killing machine. A people without hate cannot triumph. So here, it's definitely not Christianity. And he's saying we have to stir up hate and execute people, not even knowing if they're fully guilty or not. And
Bill, let me just interject with this here, because I cannot stay silent on some of the things that I have seen. I mean, what we have seen following this election, that we have now Twitter censoring even President Trump further than ever before. But live set, I've seen footage of mobs that are carrying a severed head of President Donald Trump impaled on a spike. The head was accompanied by a pig nose and a pacifier in his mouth. In Philadelphia, we have a crowd mocking an execution of President Trump using this blow-up rag doll to make it look like the president, punching it, kicking it, spitting on it. The group is yelling expletives to kill it. The rally turned dangerous. This motorcycle decides to get on the action, uses his tires to tear apart the doll. Onlookers here are cheering. They're clapping as they destroy the doll. And then they also report in Ohio, Biden supporters dressing a mannequin to look like the president, and then each person taking a turn beating the effigy until there's barely anything left of this. I mean, the vitriol, the hatred, the anger is off the charts.
Right, and this is being stirred up. It is a tool. There was a Muslim imam that gave a talk, and he said, hate is a very important quality to conquer with. And so this is, you know, the French Revolution. They put on these type of demonstrations, and what they acted out then later became reality. And they chopped off first King Louis XVI and then his wife Marie Antoinette. And that did not appease the mob. And so then they chopped off the heads of all the royalty. And that did not appease the mob. And so then they chopped off the heads of all the wealthy. You've got money. We don't have money. You're selfish. And it doesn't get any better. Then they chop off the heads of the businessmen and farmers. You have food and supplies. We don't have food and supplies. You're selfish. Then they chopped off the heads of the hoarders, the people that had extra food stored up in their closet or basement. You have extra. I don't have enough. You're selfish. Then they chopped off the heads of the clergy because they were speaking out against all the head chopping off stuff. And then they actually chopped off the heads of the former revolutionaries, the ones that used to chop off heads but got tired of it, and they got disillusioned that it wasn't this beautiful utopia they were promised. Well, guess what? They got their heads chopped. 40,000 people had their heads chopped off or died without a trial in prison in Paris, France, during the French Revolution. And that became the model for every socialist takeover since. And then there was a rural area, a farming area, far away from the capital, called the Vendée. And they thought they were safe. But guess what? They send their mob army out to the Vendée, and they kill 300,000 men, women, and children. It's considered the first modern genocide. So the French Revolution is the model for every subsequent socialist revolution. The tearing down, the killing off of the old order so that you can have rise out of it, some beautiful utopia.
Yeah.
But what always happens is you get a dictator. In France's case, they got Napoleon. But in every other socialist country, you get a Lenin, a Stalin, a Pol Pot, a Ho Chi Minh, a Castro, a Mao Zedong, a Kim Jong-un. Every socialist communist country ends up just being a flat-out dictatorship.
And friends, so often the mantra that we hear from the same crowd is, preach love, not hate. Preach love, not hate. And I tell you, the hate, the vitriol that is being expressed today is amazing. And it's extending even further. I've known of some Christians telling other Christians, because you voted for Donald Trump, I'm not going to be your friend any longer. We cannot associate any longer because of the things President Trump stood for. Folks, it is carrying on in churches across America today. We're going to take a quick break. Bill Fitterer is our guest. Our topic today is socialism, voter fraud revisited. We'll take a look at further some of the tactics that are going on today that Bill told us about 3 months ago that he documented in his book that are tactics that are utilized in order to steal elections for socialism to advance. Back in 1 minute, you're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, when we're looking at the evolutionary scale, what animals would be considered primitive?
Chris, mammals are thought to be more advanced on the evolutionary scale, although all animals are amazingly well designed. Insects are thought to be rather primitive, but research has shown that even butterflies, as they migrate across the ocean, have some sort of built-in magnetic sense which keeps them on course. They can correct their course even if blown off course by wind. Chris, even insects were created by an amazingly intelligent creator. There's nothing primitive about any form of life. Even single-cell life is complex. If it's living, it's complex. And it's been that way ever since, back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
Socialism, Voter Fraud Revisited, our topic today with Bill Federer. He is the president of Amerisearch. That's a publishing company dedicated to researching America's noble heritage. And, folks, we're just seeing history replay itself, this time in the United States of America. I do want to remind you, and we've offered this before, that Bill's book, it is such an eye-opener, Socialism, the Real History from Plato to the Present. And, again, the subtitle on this book is How the Deep State Capitalizes on Crises to Consolidate Control. We are making this available, our way of saying thank you for your support of $18 or more. You can obtain it by going to our website, vcyamerica.org, vcyamerica.org, or by calling 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829. The issue of voter fraud, that is one chapter amongst many in his book that he addresses. We have done multiple programs, and again, we've invited him on because of the significance, and we are seeing these things play out before our very eyes. Again, you may contact our switchboard at 800-729-9829. Bill, one of the issues you warned about were mail-in ballots. Mail-in ballots being lost, and this is part, you have this laid out in your book. Mail-in ballots being lost, mail-in ballots being altered, mail-in ballots being added to, and we've got numerous issues going on in states across this nation where those entrusted to safeguard the ballots were given instructions. You fill in missing information. Oh, they forgot to have a witness signature. Go ahead and put in a witness signature. Put in the missing witness addresses. In other places, there are reports of postal workers being told to predate ballots showing earlier postmarks than when received. And other places where supposedly there are just ballots that are being added by the thousand, only with one office being voted for, that of president. So deal with this issue of that you laid out here just 3 months ago here in Crosstalk about mail-in ballots being lost, altered, or added to.
Well, and even dead people voting. I mean, here they have states where it lists all the registered voters, and there are people that lived during the Civil War, and
yes,
they're still on the registered voter list. And yeah, right. So there is no way to secure mail-in ballots. There's none. Unless a person requests an absentee ballot and you have their name and you've identified the person, mm-hmm, and then they get it and then they sell it. But
these mail-in, these absentee ballots are being altered, Bill. I mean, we have that in our, we don't have mail-in voting in our state, but we do have absentee ballots, and there is instructions that have been given for people to, election workers to fill in missing information.
Well, and one of the frustrations is, Amy Coney Barrett, the very first week she was sworn in, there were four cases that would have stopped voter fraud. One in Pennsylvania, mm-hmm, saying, you know, that ballots after 8 p.m. should not be, accepted and so forth. She recused herself. And so it was a 4-4 decision, and the lower court decision to allow the voter fraud stood. Here, she could have been the 5-4 and stopped this voter fraud that we're talking about right now.
She was fresh. She was fresh on the bench at that time, yeah. And so, I mean, we've got now states, you mentioned Pennsylvania, we've got the House Speaker calling for an audit of this election. We have 10 state attorney generals, it's being led by Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt right now, filing this amicus brief in Republican Party of Pennsylvania versus Buchvar, urging the Supreme Court of the United States to reverse the decision now by the Pennsylvania Supreme Court that allowed these mail-in votes to be received some 3 days after Election Day, even without postmarks. I mean, isn't really what the Pennsylvania Supreme Court did a breach of their constitutional authority that directs the legislative branch to such actions, not the judiciary?
Right. So Pennsylvania is unique because they vote in their Supreme Court justices in Pennsylvania as Democrats or Republicans, right? So here you have Democrat Supreme Court justices ruling on whether or not to rule in favor of Democrats or not. Clearly, there's a conflict of interest. That's why it should have gone to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court should have ruled on. So it's good to hear that we're seeing that be revisited. But there's also Judicial Watch has pointed out that many of these counties have 130% of the voters voting. Now, how do you have 130%? In other words, they're casting more ballots than there are registered voters in the district. How do you do that? You just forge them. You make them up. Another thing is they have the people go in to vote. Those that are registered but did not vote, they can sit there and fill out ballots for all those people. And if they've had it where they say all Republicans out of the polling place, and they would escort them out and block the door so they couldn't get in there. Well, what would they be doing that they would not want a Republican poll watcher to see?
Yes.
And then others with people bringing in boxes of ballots. When I was running for Congress years ago, after the polls closed, we had reports of cars coming up and then bringing in what one person described as a pizza box. But it was a big pizza box, and it didn't have pizza marking on it. They were bringing in ballots. And then, I ran for Congress against Dick Gebhardt, which was, he was the Nancy Pelosi before the Nancy Pelosi.
Yes.
So it was a national race. And we had cases sort of like Georgia where the quote-unquote water main broke at the election place, which caused all this confusion. Well, we had it where it was the Jefferson County Board of Election, and we were winning. The computer showed us winning. And then all the electricity goes off in the building. And when they turn everything back on again, we go from being ahead to behind.
Wow.
And we said, what happened? Somebody was doing construction on another floor of the building. Who does construction at 10 o'clock at night?
Yeah.
Right? And then the fact that the computers, my brother's an attorney, so prior to the election, they show them the voting machines and so forth. And he notices these internet cables coming out of all the computers. And they go, well, what's that? I go, oh, that's, so we can report the election results really fast. And if there's any problems with the software, we can fix it, in real time. And he means you can access the computers in real time while they're tallying the votes. And sure enough, yeah, they can do that. And then you look at, well, who owns these computer tallying machines? There's just a couple different companies that do this. And lo and behold, now it's coming out that one of these companies is getting support from somebody that worked for Biden that gets money from George Soros. And that's the company that did this glitch that switched votes from Democrat to Republican. So clearly, and Tucker Carlson was on last night, and he says, whether it's real or not, it needs to be investigated.
Yes, yes.
And for the mainstream media to write this off as not being worth looking into shows their guilt and being complicit in saying, look, you just have to give up these things where there's somebody is 130 years old and they voted. You're the conspiracy theory. You just got to give all that up and just embrace. So this is the same mainstream media that's been censoring Trump, the same one that's been hiding the Hunter Biden corruption scandal. That same mainstream media now wants us to just swallow, like Whoopi Goldberg said, to just swallow this result and come together. Well, what's this come together? It's going to be pushing radical abortion. It's going to be pushing the transgendered education of all the children. It's going to be mandating masks, more taxes, more. I mean, it's a socialist agenda.
Yeah.
And one of the things I point out is whoever's president when the economy collapses usually gets voted out. And Herbert Hoover is the perfect example. Herbert Hoover grew up a Quaker on Indian reservations, went to the first graduating class at Stanford University with a degree in mining, goes over to Australia, works at a mine, then he gets part ownership at a mine, then he ends up starting his own mining company, and he has interests in Russia and India and China and all around the world. He becomes an international businessman. He's independently wealthy, and there's World War One. Afterwards, he organizes the feeding of these all these millions of displaced people in Europe. And then there's the 1927 Mississippi River flood. And there is no FEMA. And Herbert Hoover organizes all these volunteer organizations and businesses to take care of millions of people. He's so popular, he swept in as president. He never took a salary for being president. And 8 months into his presidency, there's a economic crash, and he is working a plan, which economists now say would have gotten the country out of the depression quicker than FDR. But he was sabotaged every step along the way by the Democrat Party, who wanted to put in FDR and his big government socialist programs.
So here we have the economy humming along, I mean, at record pace here in our nation until the communist virus came, the Chinese virus came here to the U.S.
Right. And so there are some very serious unanswered questions as to who created the virus, this bioterrorism lab in Wuhan, and that Ted Cruz actually read. I saw the interview where he read the budget under the previous president, who we were giving money to the Wuhan lab to do research with coronavirus and bats. The thought was, why should we be doing this? Well, if we can do it, the other side can do it. We need to have a vaccine against it. So it leaks just prior to this election, and it spreads. And it's now become clear that there has been a politicizing of the COVID response.
Yes.
And the shutting down businesses, killing the economy.
Bill, we've got the Attorney General now, William Barr, who is now authorizing federal prosecutors across the country to pursue these substantial allegations of voting irregularities if they exist. How important do you see that the U.S. Justice Department is now getting involved with this?
This is the last stand for not just America, but the world. If they can get away with massive voter fraud on this scale, there will never be another honest presidential election ever. And Lindsey Graham just said that today. And what you're going to see is the Biden administration is in deep with China, and you're going to see basically the one world government. Now, I don't normally forward on articles from Catholic cardinals, but there was a Cardinal Vigano who was the former papal nuncio from the Vatican to the United States under the previous pope. This current pope, he has criticized and stood up against basically calling him a socialist and pushing, you know, the climate change, LGBT agenda and so forth. So he's sort of a cardinal in hiding. And he, interestingly, in this article, his name was Cardinal Vigano. He said Thessalonians says the verse, he that restraineth will restraineth until he be taken out of the way, and the man of sin will be revealed, and all this unrighteousness and so forth. He says, call it however you want. Trump has been resisting the one world order. And if Trump is taken out, there won't be anybody to resist the one world order. And you will see this global government and the mandatory vaccinations and all the rest of it very much like an end time scenario. So it's worth fighting for. It's worth being able to say, let's do the research on these voter fraud stories. And I think it's high time. I was shocked to realize that in the Department of Justice, the person that was overseeing election integrity and voter fraud was an Eric Holder appointee. I mean, Eric Holder's the one who was giving guns to the drug gangs in Mexico. This Fast and Furious thing. And here's a Eric Holder appointee, and he's... What is it called? An Obama holdover?
Folks, we got to take a break. We'll be back in a minute. Bill Fitterer is our guest here today on Crosstalk. Another huge story coming out today regarding Nancy Pelosi as well. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
George Washington said, "It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God in the Bible." Andrew Jackson said, "That book, sir, is the rock upon which our republic rests." Theodore Roosevelt said, "A thorough knowledge of the Bible is worth more than a college education." Franklin D. Roosevelt said, "I take pleasure in commending the reading of the Bible to all who serve in the armed forces." These and over 2,000 other direct quotations revealing the godly heritage of America can now be found in America's God and Country Encyclopedia of Quotations by William Federer. This volume of over 800 pages cites founding fathers, presidents, statesmen, state constitutions, and court decisions. This reference tool is available for a donation of $22 to VCY America. Call 1-800-729-9829. Ask for America's God and Country Encyclopedia of Quotations.
William J. Federer, our guest today here on Crosstalk. Bill has authored the book Socialism, giving us the real history from Plato to the present, but analyzes how the deep state capitalizes on crises to consolidate control. And friends, because this topic is so impactful and so urgent to get this message out, we've invited Bill back on again to address these issues. He was on with us back in August, telling us, giving us this warning about how socialism operates, and voter fraud is very much a part of it, talking about computer glitches at that time, mail-in votes being lost, altered, added to. We have the orchestration of so much going on, that warning given out, and now we're seeing the playbook of socialism coming to pass. His book, again, we're making available, our way of saying thank you for your support of $18 or more. It's available online at vcyamerica.org, vcyamerica.org, or by calling our switchboard 800-729-9829. That's 800-729-9829. Bill, I saw another huge story today, and we know Nancy Pelosi is hugely under fire right now for her failure to secure seats in the House of Representatives for her party. I mean, it was projected that they would be picking up several seats, and she lost seats. And the stories coming from behind closed doors, it's been revealed that the topic of socialism is a growing concern. And there was a leaked recording from a Democratic caucus that showed one legislator suggesting that socialism, in addition to defund the police rhetoric, were to blame for several congressional defeats that were going on. But now we have Nancy Pelosi just holding a press conference recently where she has refused, absolutely refused, to denounce socialism. How significant is that?
Oh, well, this is very significant. The fact that all bills regarding spending originate in the House, and so all the budget, just another little angle on this. One of the scenarios is that if the states do not certify an election result within a couple weeks, certainly by the end of the year, then the whole election is thrown to the House of Representatives. And then it's no longer the people voting. It's the congressman, not the Senate, the congressman deciding. And the Speaker of the House is the one who's going to orchestrate the overseeing of this voting in the House. Now, the way it's been explained is that each state will get one vote based on the majority of the congressmen and what party they belong to. So if the majority of the congressmen from a state are Republican, then that state's one vote will be a Republican one. The Republicans hold a slim majority in these states. So, but who knows all the shenanigans that may try to be pulled, but yeah. It would be the Speaker of the House overseeing this, and that would be Nancy Pelosi, yeah, unless she's voted out. But it's, I hate to say it, it's almost like the Roman Empire was a republic for 500 years with 600 senators. And they began to get top-heavy with the elites and the three different parties headed up by Pompey, Crassus, and Julius Caesar. And then Crassus dies. It turns into a tug-of-war between Pompey and Julius Caesar. And it became top-heavy. It's sort of like, imagine balancing on top of a beach ball, and you're covered with suntan lotion. And you're trying not to let this thing flip. But then there was the crisis, and it flipped, and Julius Caesar got on top, and he made himself dictator for life, sort of like Xi in China. He was elected president, but he makes himself president for life. Mm-hmm. Sort of the same thing in Russia. But it's this idea that republics can get a huge bureaucratic top heaviness, and it flips and it changes. And how do you know it's changing? a French political philosopher named Montesquieu. He was the most quoted philosopher by the founding fathers. And Montesquieu basically compared republics versus despots. A republic is where the people are king, ruling bottom up. A despot is where you have a king ruling top down. Now, when the people rule, the chief motivating force, like the electricity that runs through a republic, is virtue. Everybody has to have virtue. And when there's virtue, everybody feels safe. But when despots rule, they rule through fear. You do what they say or they kill you. So when you go from feeling safe in your country to feeling afraid of your government, what you are feeling in your gut is the electronic polarity change in the flow of power. Instead of top-down, ruled by we the people, bottom-up, it's transitioning to being ruled top-down by these dictators and bureaucrats. And whenever you get a top-down form of government, it's a tiered society of a ruling class and a ruled class. Goes back to Plato. And the dictator is the philosopher king. He's the head of gold. And the deep state ruling class are the arms and chest of silver. And they're above the law. They get their hair styled when nobody else can, right? They give themselves exemptions. But everybody else is in the ruled class. And they own no property. They have no privacy. They're tracked everywhere they go. The government decides who gets to have kids. The government takes the kids away from the parents and indoctrinates them with noble lies. And Plato says that we want one grand lie, which will be believed by the whole country. And this was adopted by Joseph Goebbels, who's the minister of propaganda for Nazi Germany. And he said, tell a lie, make it big enough, repeat it often enough, and the people will believe it. So if you get all the media and the press saying, well, this candidate won, and you just got to go along with it, and you just keep make a big lie, and you just keep saying it over and over again, he says people will come to believe it. And so we're at this critical pivot point in American history. Can we hold on and give us another 4 years, which I pray, and then we need to hurry up and get revival going. But if not, it will be the same way of the Chinese marching into Hong Kong. And the people in Hong Kong who had freedom for 100 years all of a sudden had the government coming in and arresting everybody. So it's a critical point.
Yeah.
And I believe that the Lord wants to get our attention. And those that are spiritually awake are praying and giving the Lord the attention.
And folks, let me reiterate that, because praying for this nation did not stop November 3rd, 2020. It did not stop. And so we continue to urge you to be praying for our nation, for our president, be praying for this whole process as it plays out. There's court actions that are filed in numerous states right now. There are legislators that are rising up saying, hey, we need to have an audit. We need to have a certification that is proper to safeguard this vote. I mean, there are video footage of people who have been opening up the ballots and seeing them for a candidate and throwing them in the trash, and other mysterious ballots all of a sudden arriving that are only marked for the presidency and all for one particular candidate. Keep in mind, and again, I'm going back to Bill's book here on page 230 and 231. Joseph Stalin remarked in 1923, and this is the memoirs of Stalin's former secretary by Boris Bazhnev, and he says, I consider it completely unimportant who in the party will vote or how, but what is extraordinarily important is this: who will count the votes and how. Our phone number to Crosstalk is open, 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. William Fitterer is our guest. And Bill, very quickly here, I know that the church is not immune from this. I mean, we are seeing dissension taking place in churches between believers. And I understand that even the communists actually had a plan of infiltrating the church.
Right. So Yuri Bezmenov was a KGB defector in the 1970s. He came to America, and he said that people think of KGB like James Bond. He goes, no. He goes, our job was to identify the public opinion molders and pull them in a socialist direction, because they're molding the opinion for the whole country, and their goal was to have moral rot on the inside of the country. In other words, if you're climbing a tree, you put your foot on a branch, it holds your weight. But what if the branch is rotten? It breaks off. So they couldn't defeat America during World War II. We won a two-front war. And so since they can't defeat us on the battlefield, their response was to morally rot us from within. And so he says that they would send in their KGB, identify the public opinion molders in the media, education, and the pulpit. And you thought, huh, the pulpit. And so in 1963, a congressman in Florida, Albert Herlong, reads into the congressional record 45 strategic goals for how the communists plan to take over America. And one of them says this: infiltrate the churches, replace revealed religion with social religion.
Wow.
And you say, what's that? Well, that's social justice. And so an interesting gentleman, his name is Manning Johnson. He was a black man who got disillusioned in the 1930s and joined the Communist Party. After 10 years, he even ran for Congress in New York as a Communist Party candidate. But then he got disillusioned and realized that the communists did not care about bettering his community. They just wanted to stir up racial tensions to bring division. And so he said that he defected, began to give talks on exposing the communist tactics. He actually testified before the U.S. Congress. And then he wrote a book, and it's called Color, Communism, and Common Sense. And it was Teddy Roosevelt's son, Archibald Roosevelt, that wrote the foreword to the book. But in the book, he talks about how first the communists came in to the minority communities and tried to get them to spit on the Bible and stomp on it like they did in Russia, right, to get rid of their Christian faith and just become atheists. He says they couldn't do it because they were so attached to the Bible. So he said that they switched the gospel. So this is what he writes. The new line went like this: Jesus was a carpenter. He was a worker like the communists. He was against the money changers, the capitalists, the exploiters of the day. That is why he drove them from the temple. Communists are the modern day fighters against capitalists or money changers. If Jesus were living today, he'd be a communist.
My.
And so what happened is they forget the fact that we're sinners and our sins condemn us to hell, but Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, died on the cross and took the judgment for all of our sins so we could go to heaven. Forget the gospel. They just make Jesus into a Palestinian activist.
My.
And then Alexander Solzhenitsyn, in 1975, warned. He says, I call upon Americans to be careful, prevent those from falsely using the struggle for social justice to lead you down a false road.
Bill Fetter, our guest today. Let's go to Mary in Palmyra, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon. I just have two quick things. Yesterday, I received a text on my phone from someone from the American people, and they wanted to know what topics or items I wanted Biden to start working on, because they're calling him the president. So I want to remind people, be careful of that. Don't let them get into your head where you're thinking Biden is the president, because he's not. The other thing is, for him to go around in the state in the way that he is right now, and you see him all over, he's putting out speeches. And if you look at the backdrop behind him, it's got President-elect Biden.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't there a law that states someone cannot do that until they are stated that they are the president-elect? I mean, to me, it's like he's impersonating the president already.
Okay. Bill, any comment on that? We're 30 seconds to the break.
Right. It's called PSYOPs, the psychological operation. In other words, Sun Tzu's Art of War talks about that if you can get people to give up their cause, then you don't have to fight them on the battlefield. So this is a way to get you to already surrender. It's like pastors saying, well, it's God's will, just go ahead. No. This is the fate of the world hanging in the balance. We need to fight this thing all the way to the Supreme Court.
And again, I hearken back to yesterday's program. It's not the media that elects a president. It's electors. That has not taken place yet. The media has deemed the term president-elect. We'll be right back.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewtimes.com. Last Wednesday, after the election, we interviewed retired three-star general, General McInerney. Also, we interviewed author and researcher Mary Fanning. What we learned about was the hammer, the scorecard. We were the first national network of affiliate stations to broadcast this. What we learned is that in 2003, a piece of software was developed on the military side by Dennis Montgomery to keep America safe and to surveil our enemies. But reportedly, in 2009, the Obama administration took this software and began to utilize it as a political tool for blackmail and to gain information on, well, lots of people, including elected officials and members of the U.S. Supreme Court. But it could also be used to turn an election. Full details with articles at worldviewtimes.com.
Bill Federer, our guest here today on Crosstalk, Socialism and the Voter Fraud Revisited. Just a reminder, the book is available at vcyamerica.org. Our way of saying thank you for your support of $18 or more, or by calling our switchboard at 800-729-9829. The certification process has begun already with states, and the number of states have started the process already. The earliest goes from November 5 with Delaware. The latest is California, December 11th, for their certification of the ballot. And everybody's in between those dates. And some of these states are very critical where the fraud has been front and center. And so continue to, folks, be in prayer regarding these issues. Let's go right back to the phone lines. Calling in from Salina, Kansas, we have Russell. You're on the air, Russell.
Yes, Jim. If Pelosi's appointed because of the deadline of January 1st due to the unresolved court cases, can that be reversed if Trump prevails in those cases and fraud is exposed? That's my question. Thanks again for your program.
Thank you. And, Bill, do we know what the Constitution says on this issue?
No, and this is all uncharted land. So I think that the Supreme Court could invalidate the election and just throw it to the House, or it could say all the mail-in ballots are invalidated. There's a number of ways that it could go, so I don't have a specific answer.
And right now, I mean, it's no Justice Alito has said right now to segregate the ballots that came in Pennsylvania following the election versus those that came in by Election Day. And Pennsylvania is carrying 20 electoral votes that would put it at 270. And we know that there are other states, whether it be Arizona or Nevada, Wisconsin even, others that are under question here at this point. Let's go to Wayne in Gregory, South Dakota. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I was first aware of all this stuff going on over 40 years ago, and I didn't know if I'd ever live long enough to see it happen, but it's right in front of us. It ain't hyperbole. Yeah. What's going on is for all the marbles, really, and I'm just calling to encourage everybody that's listening to put pressure on your senators and representatives, because this is it. This is the final hill, I believe.
Thank you for your call.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think we need to call our congressmen and senators and tell them to get out there and scream bloody murder. That instead of them sitting back and letting Trump taking all the heat, they need to hold press conferences and say the election has not been decided until all these voter fraud accusations are investigated and tried before a court of law. So tell your congressmen and senators, get out there, do a press release, and say it's not decided until these voter fraud questions are answered.
Let's go to Brad in Wisconsin. You're on the air, Brad.
Hey, Brother Jim. Yeah, that's a good point. Nothing is over. The only trouble is I don't see a lot of movement. I want to hear some yelling and screaming, too. You got this thing with recusing herself, this Amy Coney Barrett. Recusing yourself for what? What kind of a conflict of interest was there? She was installed as a Supreme Court justice, and what did this have to do with benefiting her above anybody else?
Bill, do we know what date that matter went before the Supreme Court?
I think it was August. I think it was October 27th.
October 27th.
You can look it up. It was a 4-4 decision that was sent back to the states.
And she
could have been the 5-4 and stopped the voter fraud.
Great. And I believe she was confirmed, if I recall, she was officially voted or took the oath of office that morning with the Chief Justice. Is that correct, that very morning?
I don't have that in front of me.
Yeah.
But it is something where she could have jumped in and rolled up her sleeves and got it got involved mm-hmm. in this very important issue. Mm-hmm.
So that means she should have stood up and done the right thing rather than recuse it. I really get tired of people that are supposed to be conservative doing things like this, and it takes himself out of the mix. The media gives them a pat on the head. The Democrats say a few nice things about them, but we end up getting screwed.
Thank you, Brad, for that. And just in all fairness, I don't know what hour the Supreme Court took that issue up on the day that she was just officially installed. It was, you know, I believe it's the very same day. But something needs to be looked at. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Alan, Bridgeport, West Virginia, you're on the air.
Hey, Brother Jim, thanks for taking my call. And Brother Bill, thanks for coming on the show and trying to educate all of us and everything. But getting back to the Supreme Court, I can't understand why she did recuse herself in that vote. And it's that one of the actually very first day or so that she's on the seat or in, you know, and she can't make a decision. That's pretty tough. I hope that's nothing that's, you know, for the foreseeable future. But listen, I can't get myself anxious anymore, Jim. That's all that is mm-hmm. is the devil trying to bring us down.
Yep.
And
God's in control.
We got to pray and we got to give yep. it to the Lord, man.
Amen.
We just got to be faithful and just trust Him. You know, it's tough to do right now.
Yeah,
to do right now.
God was not knocked off the throne. So
that's right, exactly.
Great. Thank you, Al.
What?
Thank you.
And
Jim.
The other angle is, I think you know, you look at ancient Israel. They sinned, and God let the nations surrounding them come in and overrun them. When they repented, then God raised up deliverers to drive the Amalekites and the Hittites, so forth, out. In other words, God's goal is to have us turn back to Him. And sometimes He has plan A and plan B. Plan A is He blesses us. We turn to Him out of gratefulness. If that doesn't work, He has plan B. That's where He withholds the blessings, and we turn to Him out of desperation. I think we're in the plan B mode. And we need all liberty is individual, all repentance is individual. So repentance isn't out there somewhere. It's each one of us personally before a personal God, repent and get back to the first works and love the first love of the Lord, you know.
Okay. And I'm seeing here, and I'm just doing some fast searching on the net right now, and it appears that the Supreme Court made that decision on October 20th, the 4-4 tie on the Pennsylvania absentee ballot extension. And it was not actually till the following week that she was put on the court. I just need to get that verified, Bill. You're confident she was on the court at the time in which that was decided?
Oh, she recused herself, so whatever.
Okay. Okay. Let's go to Manny in Arizona. Oh, I'm sorry. The theme music is already playing here. I apologize, Manny, for that. Bill Fritter, our guest here today, and again, we'll have to look further at that aspect there, but folks, be praying. Be praying for this whole process as it continues to unfold, and be praying for wisdom, be praying for truth and integrity through this process, but as we just spoke to Al, God was not knocked off the throne November 3rd. Bill, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, Jim. And if anyone's interested in the book, I think they'll see a lot of answers to their questions.
Indeed. VCYAmerica.org to order it or by calling us 800-729-9829.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.